Amen. Well, in one sense, we're happy that we're so many here today. But on the other hand, we're sad. Our brother Bob and Mary, this is their last Lord's table for a while.
Amen.
We don't know when they'll be back. They've had a long journey from where? Wyoming, I guess, to Indonesia, Indonesia to California, California to Baltimore, Baltimore to Washington. Washington, what? Russia, Taiwan, Russia, Charlotte. Baltimore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for the opportunity to know them for over 40 years.
Amen.
So we're going to ask them to share a little bit before we have time possibly for overflow from the prophesying or the book on Genesis. So we'll ask, I guess, Mary, we'll start.
Praise the Lord. I feel so happy. I think the Lord was happy today. Because I believe he drank of our spirit.
Amen.
That's the most important thing, is this overflow of this rich Christ that lives within us.
Amen.
You know, 75 years ago, I was saved as a child. And what I can say is from that day to this day, God has never left me nor forsaken me. But let me make it very clear that this is not about me. This is about Christ.
Amen.
He is the one.
Yes.
And we give him all the honor and the glory.
Amen.
When I was 10 years old, I felt the Lord calling me to be a missionary. I didn't like that because I told the Lord, I don't know how to do that. The Lord said, that's okay. I just want you. I said, amen, Lord. Time went on. In 1954, I met the best husband in the whole world.
Amen.
I'm not kidding. I live with him. I know his heart. And I know all these years that he has led me and cared for our precious 5 children. And that is about Christ, right? The other thing is, we were very frustrated because we had a heart to love the Lord, to serve him. But in the religious organizations that we were in, there were so many problems. And inwardly, we felt something very real was missing in our lives. And it was about the oneness.
Yes.
The oneness. Where is the oneness? If every person that gets saved has one Father, then how could we not else but be one?
Amen.
But praise the Lord, we did make it to the mission field to Indonesia and served the Lord there for 5 years. During that time, God prepared us to enter the church life.
Amen.
That was his plan. And that was a glorious day. And that was a day of trial also. When we touched the church life in 1971, God is faithful. The cross is to purify us and to make us vessels that could just receive him and express him. So through many trials, many situations, Jesus is victor.
Amen.
He came through. I saw the church. Hallelujah. And I found out I had a spirit. Oh, how glorious.
Amen.
And then 2 years in Los Angeles. How precious. Being there with Brother Lee as well as the other co-workers, sitting under the ministry of ones that had fully poured out everything for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We could never be the same. And we saw the oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Then coming back to Baltimore, then down here, Jesus did it all. He's the one. He leads us. We never dreamed we would be here for 40 years, over 40 years. But I count it all, what shall I say, glorious. Because I love the church here. And I want to tell you, the sweet presence of the Lord and the dear saints here is very real and very genuine.
Amen.
It is marvelous.
Right.
And I'm not afraid about what's going to happen to any of you. I know you're going to go deeper and go higher and go on with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And then I want to say, it's really good you don't know what the path is, because sometimes our reasoning may keep us from following the Lord in a deep way. But when it came to our inward feeling that maybe we needed to move, I tell you, from there, the Lord took it. And he did things that we could never have imagined that he would do. And I just want to praise him and thank him, and I want to thank all of you. I want to tell you how you've encouraged me, how you've supplied me with life. And then one more thing. 2 years ago, I told the Lord, okay, Lord, I want to be in this God-ordained way, and I need some sisters that will have face-to-face morning watch with me. And I don't believe that it should be any other way. I have had that in the past. Why couldn't I have that now? And the Lord raised up two precious sisters to come to my house 2 times a week and spend an hour in the Word and in prayer for God's recovery.
Amen.
I tell you, that's the greatest, sweetest experience of my life.
Amen.
It has been so nourishing, so cherishing. And I believe that this is a God-ordained way.
Amen.
That we would be face-to-face with each other, enjoying the Lord. Oh, how precious it is.
Amen.
And as we go, we don't forget you. We say, you're in our hearts, right?
Right.
And we will pray for you.
Amen.
And we're just in one body. Amen. And we'll see each other again.
Amen.
And we really just want you to know how much we appreciate all you've done, how you've cared for us in so many ways.
Amen.
And we just love the Lord Jesus and trust that we would go deeper and higher in him.
Amen.
Can we open the Word and read a portion in Philippians? Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, 20, and 21a. All together. For I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I will be put to shame, but with all boldness, as always, even now, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or through death. For to me to live is Christ. No. I didn't want you to include that one. Yes, it is a game, but I don't want you to. I want to live Christ. We're not about dying right now, right? Live Christ. That's where I want you to stop. Let's read it again. For to me to live is Christ. Again. For to me to live is Christ. Chapter 2, 1 through 5. If there is therefore any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tenderheartedness and compassion, make my joy full that you think the same thing, having the same love, joined in soul, thinking the one thing, by way of selfish ambition, nor by way of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, considering one another more excellent than yourselves, not regarding each his own virtues, but each the virtues of others also. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, I think we all that are sitting here this morning appreciate to the uttermost the speaking of the ministry to the churches all through this period of time since Brother Lee has gone to be with the Lord since 1997. Praise the Lord for the seven feasts and all the riches that are released year by year. And it's all for the building of the body, all for the preparation of the bride. And we've just come off, I'd say, one, again, it sounds trite, but anyway, one of the highest and best on the crystallization of Genesis because it's the conclusion of the first book of the Bible. And, of course, it involves Jacob and Joseph in a very particular way. Anyway, I think a lot of you went, either video or live, and I do want to go. It's not around Mary and I. It's around the body. And I feel like at the end we need to give you all an opportunity to dispense Christ from these riches. And also the morning watch. Thank the Lord for the New Jerusalem. Isn't this wonderful? The aspects of the Christian life and church life seen in the New Jerusalem. Well, I just kind of as an opening, you can use feet on this or something else you want to share or testify. But anyway, I would just start with Genesis, the crystallization of Genesis. The dream of Bethel, the dream of God. That's the way it started. Started with this dream, this individual, heel holder, supplanter. God gave this young man a dream. And would you believe, Brother Lee said it, this is the most crucial point in the book of Genesis. And this is the most crucial revelation in the whole Bible. Now this came 2,200 years after Adam. But God picked up this young man, Jacob, in a marvelous way. Chose him in eternity past, proved it, dealt with him, broke him, transformed him, and matured him. If he can do it with Jacob, he can do it with you. He can do it with me. God has the grace, the strength, the life, the power, the ability to change us metabolically. Isn't that marvelous? So all the transformation, saints, is so the building. God can have a building. If there's no transformation, how can God get the building? And I think we're the unique Christians on the earth that know anything about the word or the significance of the word or the meaning of the word, transformation. That's a treasure to us. I never heard it till I touched the Lord's recovery. I thought transformation and transfiguration were the same. That was the way I was taught. But when God regenerates us and comes into our spirit, your whole life long is given and committed so that you could be transformed. Amen. So you could grow in life. So you could be conformed to him. So you could mature in life. And thank God for the Lord's recovery. Amen. Praise the Lord for this marvelous dream. Amen. Jacob had it. I love it because the angels are ascending and descending. Our concept is they're descending and ascending. No, but Bethel's on earth. The house of God is on earth. The ladder's on earth and it reaches to heaven. And there's four crucial things that are the basic structure of the whole Bible. The stone, the pillar, the oil, what's the other one? There's one more, I forgot it. Huh? No.
The house of God.
No, it's not. Anyway. So none of you have it either. So this bears the reason, saints, we need to repeat. Right? Huh? Sorry, I'm not hearing you. Yeah, the house of God, you're right. That's right. Thanks. The stone, pillar, the house of God, and the oil. That's the basic factors of the whole Bible. But we're here to be transformed, and it's hard to get transformed, I'd say, outside the body or outside the practical church life. So thank God you're here. Just stay here, and sooner or later you'll get transformed if you just open up a little bit, cooperate with the Lord, and allow the Spirit to operate in us, to change us metabolically. He doesn't want anything of our old creation, our natural man, the self, the old life. He wants Christ wrought into us. And I purposely read this portion because this was a, I would say, a changing period in our church life when Brother Lee began to have the perfecting training in Anaheim. And he got a bunch of saints that were willing to be voluntary lambs and sacrifice them for our benefit, for our growth and light. And he used this expression back in the 70s, live Christ. When he said it, nobody understood what he was talking about. The Bible says live in Christ, live by Christ, live through Christ. But Brother Lee said live Christ. And that shocked me to the core. And then he said something, I think it's in print. He said, oh, I live Christ today about 15 minutes. How about you? I'm thinking, man, you only live Christ that? Well, I'm not even sure I live Christ today. Anyway, saints, the truth and the revelation of this ministry that's been released to his body is all so he can get his body prepared, his bride prepared so he can return. Thank the Lord for these marvelous messages. I just love it how that the Lord released such wonderful truth. And then, you know, picking up Jacob, he wanted Rachel, but God sovereignly allowed Leah. And then he paid another price. He got Rachel. And then Rachel couldn't have any children. She cried, give me children or I die, blaming Jacob. He said, God's doing this. What can I do? And then the Lord gave her a son, Joseph. And she used the word adding. Joseph means adding. That means she had hope she was going to get one more son. Isn't that marvelous? So the Lord gave Rachel the son, and that was Jacob's favorite. That was dangerous. Better not have any favorite with the five. First, second, third, or fourth, whatever, anyway. We better be careful because God's not doesn't have favorites. The only favorite God has is his son, his beloved. And the more he gets constituted into you and me, then the more we're beloved, right? So, okay, she brought to birth Benjamin, but she called him Ben-Oni, the son of my affliction. And Jacob immediately changed Benjamin, and it's a picture of Christ. Isn't it marvelous that Joseph and Benjamin, the two sons of Jacob, are types of Christ? Judah also, but especially the two sons from Rachel are types of Christ. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and yet he's the one on the throne at the right hand, ruling the whole universe. Oh, what a marvelous vision. And then Joseph, how all that Joseph went through, prepared by the Lord, to save God's people. But Jacob, too, don't forget Jacob. He went through a lot of dealings. I was shocked when Brother Lee said it wasn't until he got to Peniel or Peniel that he started to get transformed. And I'm thinking, my, what a waste of time. 20 years with Laban and all these wives and all these children, he wasn't getting any transformation? No, it wasn't until the Lord touched his thigh. Broke something of the natural life, and that was the process. And I'd say that's what the church life's all about. To break our natural life, to break our natural strength, our ability, our capability. Everything that we have by creation has to be broken. Because we're vessels, and there's a treasure in our vessel, and that treasure has to be released. But it can't be released until we're broken. When we're broken, the treasure can slowly come out. God doesn't depend so much on the vessel. He depends on the vessel being broken so the treasure of all treasures, can come out and touch people. Anyway, Jacob was marvelous, prepared by the Lord, and I loved it the way the brothers opened it up. But then, of course, you have to see that Joseph is a part of Jacob. And then the concluding message was classic, image and dominion. Genesis 1:26. That's what the whole book of Genesis is all about. But here you have a fulfillment. You know, it was kind of shocking because the way it ends is Joseph is in a coffin. But if you see image and dominion, that's the end. That's the fulfillment of all the Bible. And it's with these two men, one who was fully transformed and one who was reigning, maturing. He was mature in life and reigning. So it's image expressing God and reigning. Anyway, it's marvelous. I've got to stop. That gives you a little taste, some of the highlights. And then in the morning watch, New Jerusalem. I'm so thankful it's in the Bible. I was taught in my denomination, don't read Revelation because you can't understand it. And there's a lot of things in there that are pretty scary. Just stay away from it. That was the way I was taught. But thank the Lord and the Lord's recovery through the ministry of Brother Nee and Brother Lee. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is open to all the saints in the Lord's recovery on all the earth. Aren't you thankful the testimony of Jesus is on all six continents? Just like here. And in every locality, there's a Mount Zion. Oh, Mount Zion is the center of the church life. You can live here in the church life on Mount Zion. Amen. It has to be in the Spirit. It has to be in the divine life. The more we live there, the more the Lord can change us. Praise the Lord for the church life. Whether you're small or big is not an issue. Just realize you're standing on the ground of oneness. You're one with the triune God and you're in one accord with one another. Live on Mount Zion so the Lord can fulfill his heart's desire. Praise the Lord, he's doing it. Saints, we're part of it. Isn't that marvelous? We're new. New, brand new. The only one new in the universe is God. That means we must have something of God. If we're new and he's new, praise the Lord. God and man are new. I'm glad I have a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, new wine vests, new wineskins. Praise the Lord. Everything is new, new creation, not the old but the new. So our view is every church meeting is an opportunity to live in the New Jerusalem. It's a miniature. Four sides, we even sing about it, but we're not waiting for the future. We're exercised now. I want to live in the New Jerusalem now with all the brothers and sisters. I want to have peace with the brothers. I want the brothers to have peace with me. I want to learn how to fellowship in life. Enjoy the Lord for the building of the body. Saints, this is the New Jerusalem. Did you know every believer is a little New Jerusalem? Why? Because the Spirit got into you. Doesn't matter whether you're in the Lord's recovery or not. Once the Spirit gets into you, you're a little New Jerusalem. You might not realize it, but one day you'll realize it because you'll be part of it. But we're here realizing, experiencing, and enjoying the reality of the New Jerusalem. I love it this week it was marvelous because it's talking about the new and the dimensions, right? And you have all these physical pictures and dimensions, but they're not physical or material. They're pictures of spiritual realities. Isn't it wonderful? New Jerusalem is 1,360 miles long, 1,360 miles wide, and 1,360 miles high. And yet it's a mountain. Well, is it a mountain or is it a city? What is it? It's a mystery. But it's God and man mingled together as one entity in the whole universe. Tripartite man experiencing and enjoying the saturation of the triune God. Amen. And hallelujah, there's a throne there. Amen. And did you know there's a throne in every church? Every church has a throne. Every church is a model of the New Jerusalem. And out of the throne flows a river of water of life and a tree of life on either side. Nourishing, satisfying, feeding, taking care of us. And it goes down one street. The only regulation we have in the Lord's recovery is the golden street. That's God's regulation. If you're going to walk on the street, you got to be golden. Partaking of the golden nature of the triune God. And then that expression, it was wonderful, what? The Spirit is. God is Spirit. The Spirit denotes the very nature of God's person, right? And love, God is love. Love denotes the nature of God's essence. And light. Light denotes the nature of God's expression. So every time you walk on the street, you've got the Spirit, you've got love, you've got light. Hallelujah. The triune God wrought into us. The nature is mysterious, but also, saints, we have human nature, but we also have divine nature. So God's economy is to work himself into us in such a way we can express him. The fulfillment of Jacob's vision was the Lord Jesus. He's the ladder. And I appreciated the brothers mentioning, it doesn't say the Son of God. It says the Son of Man. He told Nathanael, you'll see greater things than these, the angels of God and ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The fulfillment of Bethel is this man. Hey, listen, God chose you to be a man, not an angel. We're men, so we have the privilege and the opportunity to cooperate and allow the Lord to work his life and nature into us, that we too will be part of this Bethel, this house of God, full of the divine nature, full of the human nature that's been transformed and conformed and matured. That's our hope. That's our vision. Okay, I'm going to stop. That gives you a little introduction, whatever you have burned to share. This has been, I'd say, a difficult time, a deepening, sobering, dealing time, and it was over 10 and a half months in process, and something we didn't expect or we didn't think about, but some of the senior co-workers fellowship with us. And after that fellowship, after 4.5 months, as Mary and I were driving like 3 o'clock in the morning from the conference Thanksgiving time, we both were clear. It is time for us to move from here, from the area. Inwardly, we're clear. That's last November. So there's a lot gone on between then and now. And I want you to know, we never initiated anything. We're just here following the Lord in the body, in the fellowship with the co-workers, in the fellowship with the churches, the brothers, the saints. We're not initiating anything in this, but we want to tell you we're very peaceful. This is the Lord. Amen. And we're very peaceful. This is God's will. Amen. So there's no better place to be. Inwardly, it was a little hard on our children a little bit. Maybe a little bit hard on you. But the point of it is, if you have peace with the Lord and with one another, that's fine. And if you know God's will, we're not satisfied with the permissive will. We told the Lord we only want your perfect will. Amen. So we can say honestly, openly, we believe this is God's perfect will. And we believe this is God's choice for us. It wasn't anything we expected, we thought about. In fact, we thought we might be here until the Lord comes back. But anyway, praise the Lord. We're not indispensable. The church belongs to God. Church belongs to Christ. We don't own it. We don't own any of you. You don't own us. We're just part of the same one body. So in the fellowship, we made our determination. We were not going to make a choice. Mary and I, we went through it. We prayed. We fellowshiped. Of course, we couldn't talk to a lot of people, but anyway, we want you to know we dealt with the Lord in a very serious way. In 1970, in Otumbua, Timor, when we were serving the Lord as missionaries, my younger brother, who touched the church life before we did in Los Angeles, sent me 7 books, 4 by Brother Lee, 3 by Brother Nee, and he told me, Bob, read them in this order, and I did. And when I was reading Brother Nee's Glorious Church, literally, saints, scales fell off my eyes. I couldn't believe it. Here I had a master's in religion. I was taught the Bible, instructed in all kinds of doctrines and teachings. But until I read that book, I could not believe. Genesis 1 and 2 is connected with Revelation 21 and 22. I said, I don't know. Why haven't we heard this? Why don't we know this? But literally, scales fell off. By that time, we went through quite a process because our brother was sending us the Stream magazine and literature and tapes and the prayer reading, the whole thing. And Mary kind of got fed up. And she asked me questions that I couldn't answer. I told Mary, my choice is taken. I don't have any. We don't have any choice anymore. I don't know who these people are. I don't know how they practice. We have to go this way. This is God's purpose. It started this way. It ends this way. We don't have a choice. Missionary, pastor, minister, whatever. We dumped it all. We gave it all. Gave it up. You know what the missionary leaders told us? You're following the devil. You're being led by demons. But the head man, C.T. Studd's son-in-law, Norman Grubb, was in our home. And when we testified to him in Los Angeles, he literally raised his hands and prayed for the Lord's blessing on us. We cried. We thought he was going to rebuke us or condemn us. Norman Grubb prayed for us, and the Lord has preserved us. So I want to tell you this. When we touched the Lord's recovery from the very first time we saw that vision in 1970 until the present hour, we're not making our own choices where we are, where we go, or what we do. And that is including our children. All five of our children had no impact, no influence, no choice. We told the brothers, listen, if we go any place on the earth, I can guarantee our five will be at our door if we need to be taken care of. I'm not going to base any decision. You brothers have to decide. You have to find what is the mind of the Lord for us. So we're going to Ireland based on the decision of the brothers. Not ours. That's not our choice. But we take God's choice because we believe it's God's choice. And the Lord brought us into agreement with the fellowship. We say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. We're here walking the same way. I want you all to know we're still in pretty good health. I'll be 80 next month. Mary follows me 6 months later. And we're still alive. We get up every morning. We touch the Lord together. Amen. We're enjoying the Lord. Amen. And I hope I live to be 100. Amen. Or 120. Amen. That was Brother Lee's request. But the enemy came in. Even Sister Lee said he was in good health. But because of this particular thing, they didn't discover. So we're not retiring. We're not going to Arlington to retire. Our function has changed. We're not involved in any of the administration of the church, but we're in the work. And the brothers want us to be at every training, every conference, every fellowship that we possibly can be, even if we travel, if we can travel. And I told Brother Wu to his face, Brother Wu, because of the fellowship among the co-workers, there's going to be a big conference in February 2015. I said, Brother Wu, if Mary and I are healthy, we're going to be there. Now, I don't favor the Chinese-speaking conference because you have to have earphones. And I've probably gone to a handful over the last 40 years. Sorry. I'm admitting, confessing to you. But anyway, it's East meeting West. All the saints here, in all the churches, all the leading ones, as many as possible, start praying and start planning to go to Taipei. February 2015. Blend together with all the saints on the earth. Amen. They're expecting 1,000 saints from China to come. And they said, no limit. Now, I'm surprised it didn't come out of the conference, but anyway. Anyway, go prepare yourself. Now, one regret I told the brothers this morning is that because at the end of Brother Lee's life, he was really burdened for the blending. And I feel like thank the Lord that saints here in D.C. are with us this morning. I feel like we brothers here failed, made a serious mistake, and not from the very beginning, blending. blending. The co-workers need to blend. The leading ones need to blend. The saints need to blend. The churches need to blend. And they're, you know, what, 15, 20 minutes away. Blend. Don't go en masse, but go in groups. 5, 10. Blend with the churches. Blend with the saints. And I feel like that's kind of my only charge. All of you, we're leaving, but don't give up the blending. Behind the scenes for the last 3 or 4 months, actually, that's what Mary and I have been doing, going to visit the churches. We fellowshiped at the first of the year about it with brothers in the area. Everybody agreed. We read a portion, but I haven't seen much of it. But I just feel like blend. The more we blend, the more we'll get saved. We're all too still individual, localized. No, get out, blend. And may the Lord bless us. One last word is that I was surprised the Lord allowed us to go to the table meeting in Jerusalem, March 9th, 2014. And I would say that's, to me, one of the strongest signs we're very, very close to the Lord's return. It's hidden to the religious world. Nobody has any idea. But there's a testimony of Jesus again in the city of Jerusalem. Amen. At least a nucleus of saints that are one with the triune God and endeavoring to be in one accord with one another. And that's where the Lord's blessing is. Amen. Go to Jerusalem. Amen. See it with your own eyes. Amen. Don't be so burdened to preach the gospel and get Jews saved. Go and pray from Jerusalem for the whole earth and from Jerusalem for Jerusalem. And I believe the more the church grows there, the more the blessing of the Lord will come, the more the Lord will have a way to work. Anyway, all the churches we need to grow. Amen. Okay, sorry, I'm taking longer than I intended, but we felt like maybe we'll let the meeting go until 10 after 12, but it'd be good if you saints don't direct it so much towards us, but just to the fellowship, the ministry of the word, the riches that we're enjoying. Let's have a good prophesying for a half hour.
So much this week was the New Jerusalem, you know. That's always been an enigma to me, you know. It's not a literal city, but, you know, what is it? So, of course, it came out during the training and also through Revelation, but, okay, it was one day this week in the morning watch, we had some further readings, and I think it was the one about building, chapters 7 and 8, that may be where I saw it, but anyway, about the New Jerusalem, you know, it's square, and there's four sides, of course, with three gates on each side. The three gates are all pearl. Of course, one person couldn't be a pearl, so it's got to be a lot of saints that made that pearl. Anyway, it's a pearl, and you can't get in any other way except through that gate. And of course, that gate is redemption. And anything that's natural can't get in. You know, it stays on the outside. So if you get in, you've been born again. You're a believer, and you get in, and immediately you're on the golden street.
Amen.
And the golden street is the divine life.
Amen.
And if you get on that golden street, there's no other way to go because it's the only street in the city. It's the only way.
Amen.
So you get on that street, no matter where you come in, no matter which gate, and you get on that street, and you start spiraling up.
Amen.
Spiraling up around a mountain.
Amen.
And I never saw that. I never realized that, you know? And so you're spiraling up, you're going to the top. Like Bob said, it's a long ways up there, you know, and you're on that path. And coming down, there's the tree of life.
Amen.
Coming down, and the river of water of life.
Amen.
Coming down.
Amen.
So all the time you're being nourished and fed while you're on the divine street.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a throne at the top.
Amen.
The throne of God and of the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Aspects of the Christian life and the church life. I would just like to pick out two aspects and share how, you know, Brother Bob and Mary have been such a pattern to us. One is the golden street. In the New Jerusalem, there's only one street.
Amen.
So the brother testified from the beginning of touching the church life till now, they did not take their way.
Right.
They took the golden street way.
Amen.
Which is the fellowship. This street's name is fellowship.
Amen.
There's only one fellowship.
Amen.
One flow in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And the second aspect is that the New Jerusalem is new.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I haven't seen any couple who are so new, who are so young, right? They may be mature humanly and, of course, spiritually, but they were new and fresh and living.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. May we all enter into this aspect of the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord indeed. Yesterday in our meeting, it was so exciting. You came up with something wonderful. When I say God is newness, then the saints say newness is God.
Amen.
God is peace. Peace is God.
Amen.
And I was going to share on that, but I think you have to follow this with the Lord. I just want to read a few verses in connection with the Lord gave me Ephesians 4:11. He said, and he himself gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at the full grown man, and at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
And the second verse that the Lord impressed on me was Hebrews 13:17. Obey the ones leading you and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who will render an account that they may do this with joy and not groaning, for this will be unprofitable to you.
Amen.
So quickly,
Amen.
Brother Bob had a fellowship with Brother Bob some time ago when I came to the church life. I put a lot of pressure on myself trying to read the New Testament once a week, cycle through two weeks. And I said, brother, don't do this. He told me that take your time, read the footnotes, enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Don't put pressure on this.
Amen.
So that was very, very important to me, because I put too much pressure on myself to get know that the Lord. So that was watching over my soul, discerning the Spirit.
Amen.
The brother watching over our souls. So I cannot stand here and say I bless the brother, but the church bless the brother. Hebrews 7:7 says the greater blessing, the less. The church blesses him, and the Christian life is from glory to glory.
Amen.
The
Amen. Life.
So I know that there's more glory for them to come.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I enjoyed this really always enjoyed the principle of the Holy of Holies. Is that man can live and walk directly in the presence of God.
Amen.
The church life today must be the holies of holies. You know, when I walk into the church in God's Lord, I wasn't that fool. Even today, I appreciate it. The holies of holies started out in the tabernacle. Right? Then it was enlarged to the temple.
Right.
That eventually it consummated into a city that the dimensions are over 1,360 miles high, long, whatever, right? I enjoy, Lord, you know my true condition. I want to live Christ. I want to have my mind completely renewed. I want my heart to have where Christ can make his home completely in my heart.
Amen.
I want to be a gate for people to be able to enter in into the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
I just appreciate the principle of the holies of holies that we can live Christ.
Amen.
And I know, Lord, I am so short. But I appreciate the last few months, I had a pattern. And I had one-on-one intimate conversation. And I was encouraged to live Christ.
Amen. Amen. Oh, to live Christ. Amen. Yes. Actually, I wanted to share about you.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
I think in most of the case, when we say new, think that old changed to new. They may usually think that. But here, this week, this Lord's the title is, if you look at that, is that the intrinsic significance of new, the name, New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So new is Jerusalem is foundation of peace, something like that. So Salem, peace, but Jeru means foundation. But do we have any some in the Jerusalem and now any peace? Do you think? Here, there is peace? Today is the world, right? So that the meaning is the different. So new is complete different Jerusalem. So not related with any physically, psychologically, not related with any Jerusalem. It's complete new. So and this week touched me that the new is God himself new. Nothing is everything beside God. Oh. So that makes me that I reminded me the verse that it's a short, I'm sorry. So that in the 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, what is that? All things passed away. Then all things passed away. But it becomes new. This new is newness. It's complete new. All things gone.
Amen. I had this thing, enjoyment of the word New Jerusalem. You know, the foundation of the body is newness and it's peace. But peace, these two are not separate. They're not coming separately. They come together. Without one, the other one doesn't exist. Without the newness, the peace would not exist. So every time we are criticizing a situation, every time we are saying that my way or my thinking is right or my will is right, we have to think of this newness to have peace in the body. The newness is God himself. It is Christ in us. It's the fellowship of life in us. If we put away all the judgments of all the way of life that we knew before and every moment take Christ as newness in our life, the body would be in peace. We would be peace not only in the body, but outside the body also. In the world, we will glorify God because God is God of peace.
Amen.
He is new and he is God of peace.
Amen.
Goes together, not separate from each other. We cannot say we have peace in the body just by sitting and taking things with our own old mind, old will, old feelings. But we have to inwardly accept this newness of life and believe in what God is bringing as a newness to the body, to accept the peace in reality.
Amen.
Not just outwardly. Trying to say that we are peaceful because I'm not saying anything. Because I'm not agreeing, but I'm not saying anything, but so I'm peaceful. No, that's not the peace. The reality of peace, when we have a new mind, new feeling, and new will to accept the life that is God in us.
Amen.
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 A lot of the time I have been here, I'm married to a non-believer and it's been very hard. But, you can only go in one way in New Jerusalem, just keep going. And I had, with the mind, it's been so strong, the analytical, and it's like, boy, just to be into that place where you're in the newness of God, and just simplify and breathe him in, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's wild out there. Everybody's doing something and trying to get some pleasure, and there's just so many distractions, like very different from, when we were the 60s kid. And so I was just appreciating, there's different things you can do, and one of them is like just writing, and the Lord's really like moving me to just like write, because and praise the Lord. And then when you write it down, you can actually go back and read it, and the Lord will touch you that this is the Spirit, not just your mind. You know, it'll make more sense. And so, but we don't have to analyze. Like, we just can be in this moment and this new birth all the time. And I just want to let other people know about it. And it's just lovely, like all the saints here today. Just like, okay, Lord, you know, you're in me and you're flown out. And I don't have to be all heavy, like, because life is not heavy like that. It's just a flowing river.
Amen.
So praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Amen.
I was very touched about the matter of the Holy of Holies. You know, it was originally in the tabernacle, which is only 10 cubits. Right. And the temple should take 20 cubits, double, right? But in the New Jerusalem, it's 12,000.
Right.
And it's enlarged to the uttermost.
Right.
And it's not physical, it's us, right?
Yeah.
And in experience, our Holy of Holies must be enlarged.
Yeah.
Right? And the principle of the Holy Holies is that man can live and walk directly in the presence of God.
Amen.
I never saw why in Revelation 21, that, you know, there's no longer a temple, because the God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple.
Amen.
That means there's no outer court.
Amen.
It's a Holy of Holies.
Amen.
And then, I never linked it with Ephesians 3, 18, right? But in verse 16, that Christ make your home in your heart.
Amen.
But be strengthened to the uttermost.
Amen.
You know, to apprehend with all the saints,
amen,
the breadth, the length, and the height.
Amen.
I never realized what that was referring to.
Amen.
It was referring to the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Today we're in the church life.
Amen.
Apprehending.
Amen.
So that we can be in the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Everything in the presence of God.
Amen.
We can't do anything by ourselves.
Amen.
Even if we're right, we need to have the presence of God.
Amen.
God is new, and we are the new creation.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means God is in us.
Yeah.
And I was just so, anyways, this term I've been really appreciating, that the new creation comes out of the old creation.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That means when we walk and live by the Spirit, a little bit of the new creation comes out of our old creation.
Amen.
And the new Jerusalem isn't a physical city, but the new Jerusalem is a living composition of God's regenerated saints.
Amen.
The new Jerusalem is a city of sons.
Amen.
A city of sons that express the life of God. And anyways, I was just so impressed at this past training. You know, we're talking about being broken and being dealt with and being chosen, you know, all these things. And yes, God loves us and he's doing all these things. But I was just really impressed with Brother Ron. He said the reason why we are chosen, dealt with and broken, is because God has a purpose.
Amen.
God wants the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
And there will be a day when the praise, we will, everything in the universe will praise God.
Amen.
Praise God, because God is manifested through his Son.
Amen.
God will be manifested through us.
Amen.
By the Spirit.
Amen.
Whether we, you know, we wake up in the morning and we decide to trust the Lord, or we decide to be with some saints. But anyways, it is so practical to live and walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
And it is practical for the New Jerusalem to be produced.
Amen.
Amen. Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Walk and live in the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, so this New Jerusalem can be realized.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. You know, only God is new.
Amen.
So anything in the material world, you know, as the moment we use it, it's becoming old.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, only God is new.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, anything of, oh, the new creation in me is new because God is the element.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Is in there.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. In the 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ,
Amen.
Oh, he is a new creation.
Amen.
Oh, the old things have passed away.
Amen.
Oh, behold, they have become new.
words. Jeru means foundation, and Salima means peace. So Jerusalem refers to the foundation of peace.
Amen.
And also I appreciate two sub-points of 1B. In the New Testament, there are two titles, the God of peace and the peace of God.
Amen.
Both of these indicate that God himself is our peace.
Amen.
And since the Lord has given us his peace and love, left us his peace today, that we should live in his peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Lord. The Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This morning I got up and I couldn't remember what I read. And I looked at it, and the first two words, newness and freshness, they just killed me. You know, in the morning we don't have a lot of that. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And then I was talking to my wife walking in, and I said, I really had a feeling right now. Instead of having it, not any feeling. But Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the New Jerusalem is the consummation of the Holy of Holies. Right? Do you remember this statement, this situation? Part of it came out from a meeting in Hebrews. In the Old Testament, everything is a type, everything is a figure, everything is a picture. Except one thing in the Old Testament is the reality. What is that thing? Inside the Holy of Holies dwelt the Shekinah glory of God.
Amen.
That was the reality in
Amen.
The Old Testament.
Right.
It's
Amen.
Not like, you know, it's not like everything in the Old Testament was old. The reality was there. It was in there in the tabernacle. It was in there in the temple, right?
Right?
But what does it say in Hebrews? Into there one time a year, one man could go, and he had to have a rope on his foot in case he wasn't right. He died, and they'd have to haul him back out.
Right.
Lord Jesus, look around you.
Amen.
You're all today. The difference, the significance of today is that there's a whole lot of people entering into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
This is God's purpose.
Amen.
To have a group of people
Amen.
In the Holy of Holies.
What
are you about today?
Amen.
Get into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
What do you want to do with? You want to live in God's presence.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
With Christ as a new man. And it asks, what is in this new man? Not Christ by himself, but Christ in you and with you.
Amen.
It says, we like to say that we live Christ, but many times we dare not say this because we have some realization that we do not live Christ all the time. The reason why we do not live Christ is because we are void of Christ's constitution.
Amen.
So to live Christ does not need you to remember that you have to live Christ. If you have been so much constituted into you, you cannot forget to live him.
Amen.
And that's the intrinsic meaning of live Christ.
Amen.
Brothers, what I'm about to share, I need to preface it by saying I do not have a special fellowship with this brother. It was just a question that I had in my seeking. I emailed him, the brother who gave the message, and since the training, in eight years I've never emailed. I did once in the training, but this is my only other time. So I want to preface that though, it's important. I asked, what is the fundamental reason many do not reach Genesis 32? My question was, is it because the Holy Spirit has withdrawn his work based on our attitude towards his fragmentary dealings? And his answer, and I felt it was very enlightening, that's why I want to share for help for all of us. According to my limited understanding, those who do not reach Genesis 32 often display certain or even all of particular characteristics. Protecting the self, not being open, not having a genuine and deepening relationship with the Lord, avoiding the cross, living by right and wrong, lacking desperation, not being enlightened regarding the natural life. But I was really, even with all that though, I was really encouraged by Brother Bill's song that he selected today. The last two lines, oh joy in your salvation and in his mercy boast.
Amen.
It's truly, there's nothing we can do about this except go to the Lord, open to him. But truly, it's the Lord's mercy that we would all arrive and pass through Genesis 32 to arrive at Bethel in reality.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I got a lot in my heart, but I don't know how to start because the speaking
during the training, I turned it was just so high.
Yeah.
And I think for the first time, I really saw a glimpse concerning why the brotherly always link New Jerusalem with blending together. Because for me, these are totally two separate things. Right. New Jerusalem, some of all the way far away, and blending is very practical. But I think brotherly, his burden was he saw so many churches on the earth,
right.
But he didn't see too much reality concerning the body of Christ. Right. He said the God's plan is to build out the body of Christ that consummated in New Jerusalem. But then brother asked, what does it mean exactly? And it is through the process of building out the body of Christ.
Amen.
And how do we build out the body of Christ? Primarily through blending. And the brother, he mentioned that he encouraged us. He said, look at all of the world, besides China, which we don't really quite know, but if you count the number of saints in the whole recovery, how many are there? Probably up to 1 million. And there are 7 billion people in this world. So I mean, we're a small number. So I mean, in a sense, what we're doing here is so insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
But he encourages us, regardless of our number, you remember, the very first message of the training says, each Christian is little Jerusalem, and every church is a miniature Jerusalem.
Amen.
Saints, what we're looking for is a miniature.
Amen.
Not necessarily the size, but the miniature.
Amen.
So as a result, what we are doing here in our church life, we're living out the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
When
Amen.
We are blending with the saints, we're right. building, we're working out the New
Amen.
Jerusalem.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. We are building out, working out the New Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen.
Let me just read two things from the message that our brother gave. I was very much touched in light of where do we go from here? Oh, where do we go from here? God wants to do something new.
Amen.
He desires that Christ himself would be known, realized, experienced, and expressed in a full and living way.
Amen.
If you would be fresh, young, and new with the Lord, He would have a way to carry out His new move through you. This is why the Lord said in Luke 18:17, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall by no means enter into it." A little child not filled with and occupied by old concepts can easily receive a new thought. Hence, people need to receive the kingdom of God as a new thing with an unoccupied heart.
Amen.
Like a little child. You may be an older brother in years and yet still be young in the spirit.
Amen.
Because you are not settled, set, or occupied. Whenever we open ourselves absolutely to the Lord, He has a way to dispense something new, fresh, and real of Himself.
Amen.
Of His thought and desire into our being. May the Lord gain a group of people in these days to turn the age for His new move.
Amen.
That was kind of the beginning. Now, how can we possibly do that? I was very much touched at the end, the brother shared something that's really important for all of us to realize.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking.
Amen.
It's what?
Righteousness.
Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 2:10, Paul says, "Whom you forgive anything, I also forgive.
Amen.
For also what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, it is for your sake in the person of Christ."
Amen.
Here, person literally means face and refers to the part around the eyes.
Right.
The look as the index of the inward thoughts and feelings which show forth and manifest the whole person.
Amen.
This indicates that the apostle was one who lived and acted in the presence of Christ,
yes,
according to the index of his whole person expressed in his eyes.
Amen.
This means that Paul did everything in the index of the Lord's eyes,
amen,
in the present, the person, and the face of Christ.
Amen.
4:6-7 says, because the God who said out of darkness light shall shine is the one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This was why I touched. We have this treasure in earthen vessels,
amen,
that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us.
Yeah.
The treasure in earthen vessels in verse 7 refers to the face of Jesus Christ in verse 6.
Amen.
Indicating that the face of Jesus Christ, the presence of Jesus Christ, which is seen in the index of his eyes, is the treasure in our earthen vessels.
Amen.
The treasure in our earthen vessels is Christ as the actual presence of God, not a doctrinal Christ.
Amen.
In this regard, we should aspire to be like Moses and Paul, who had the presence to a full extent for God's building, God's corporate expression.
Amen.
You know, I very much appreciate the tape from the young people, but one of my favorite songs is, Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you.
Amen.
You're the one I need.
Amen.
To live this life, Lord, I need you always. By your presence, Lord, take lead.
Amen.
And even in the middle part, look into me, infuse me to walk by the strength of your eyes.
Yeah.
So how we long to live in the reality,
amen,
of living in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Living by the index of his eyes.
Amen.
May this be our reality as we move and live and desire to live in the reality of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
We are all little New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And we desire this church,
amen,
the church in D.C., Beltsville, all the churches,
amen,
to be miniature New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So how we need to be those, say, Lord, I aspire,
yes,
to be a little New Jerusalem,
amen,
in my daily living.
Amen.
Maybe we can stop and maybe just have a short time of prayer, short prayers. We'll just commit our brother Bob and Mary to the Lord,
amen,
as they move to Arlington. Their next move is the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And we'll all be there.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just have a few short prayers and then decide,
amen,
what to do from here.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord
Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for our brother,
amen,
for our dear sister,
amen,
for such a good pattern laid before us.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, we can run the course together.
Amen.
Until we all reach the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Well, thank you for Bob and Mary.
Amen.
Thank you for their service all these years.
Amen.
Lord, that they would go in peace.
Amen.
Grow as members of the body.
Amen.
Let's go in peace in them.
Amen.
Lord, that they have poured themselves out,
amen,
as a drink offering,
amen,
upon our faith.
Amen.
Thank you, we are in them and together with them as members of the household of God.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Strengthen them in their inner man.
Amen.
Lord, continue to lead them.
Amen.
And they be a blessing to all the churches.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray that they will grow in you more and more.
Amen.
Our brother and our sister more and more.
Amen.
Cause them to be blessing to all the saints.
Amen.
Be one with all the churches.
Amen.
That's right. Bless them.
Amen.
And make them a blessing.
Amen.
Keep them living and working out the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, wherever they may go.
Amen.
Strengthen them day by day.
Amen.
Keep them enjoying your presence.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
wherever they go.
Amen.
They need your presence.
Amen.
Wherever they are, Lord.
Amen.
We are one body.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Father Mary, Lord.
Amen.
Bless them with your presence.
Amen.
They prosper.
Amen.
Keep overflowing in them to the world.
Can do just for the announcements. I'd like to, if we could, I think most of us know it. Oh Lord, I love you. I really love you.
Amen.
Without you, life's really nothing.
Right.
Maybe we could sing that.
Oh Lord, I love you. I really